devil getting out of the path. Sometimes you turn to the left. Sometimes in the church you turn to the right. But you ought to keep your feet planted in the right way. Yeah! The hip bone found the backbone. Every church must have good members with strong backbones, willing to stand up for what's right, willing to carry their share of the load. You're not gonna pray with me. The backbone will stand for what's right. If mother ain't with him, the backbone will stand. If your husband ain't with him, the backbone will stand. If your wife ain't with you, the backbone will stand. Yeah! Backbone found shoulder bones. The shoulder bones are the members of the church that are willing to reach back and get their brother and put him on their shoulder and carry him when he become weak. For the scripture said, the strong must bear the infirmity of the weak. Shoulder bones need arm bones, for they can reach out and get a brother that's fallen by the way. Reach out. Members are very important to the church. They give the hand bone the support for the body. The hand grips and holds when the storms of life are raging. The hand bone will hold on and rescue the perishing. The hand bone reached down and picked up the head bone, which is the pastor of the church. Yeah! The church can't function without a preacher. No matter how you try, you can raise a lot of money, but you ain't right if you ain't got a preacher. You can have a church full of folk every Sunday, but if you ain't right, unless you got a preacher. For the scripture says, where there is no vision, the preacher, the people perish. He said, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Preachers got to catch on fire in the pulpit. Preachers got to burn, yeah, with the Holy Ghost fire. When preachers catch on fire, the pews will catch on fire. Yeah! The head bone needs some support, and that's the job of the neck bone. The neck bone is the deacon bone. The neck bone supports the head bone. If you got a big head and a weak neck, it'll fall all over. It won't hold itself up. Yeah! The neck bone has got to be a strong bone so it will support the head that it might walk upright. Yeah! Good God Almighty! And then when you get all the bones together, the church won't succeed because all you got is a skeleton. You got to keep on preaching, for you got to prophesy till muscles and tendons and fiber get in that bone and connect bones to bones, and muscles condemn those bones. The muscles are the auxiliaries in the church. The church needs strong auxiliaries that believe in the church, that are not working for themselves, that are not working to take all the money and dress it up and eat it up and have a good time. Yeah! The church needs muscles in the church, and then you need skin to cover those muscles. Yeah! And then after you get all of that, You got eyes, but you can't see. You got ears, but you can't hear. You got legs, but you can't walk. Oh, Lord, one more thing. I heard him. He said, son of man, prophesy to the four winds. Tell the wind. Oh, Lord, tell the wind to blow down in the valley. Oh, yeah. The wind is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. Yeah! When the Holy Ghost came, yeah!
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Put your hands together, give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. I've got to praise. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody. Just couldn't keep it to myself. Amen. God bless you, choir. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And we pray, oh God, that you would speak a word into our hearts, into our spirits, oh God, that will remind us that you are still in control. You're still in charge. We thank you, God, for the blessings we receive now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord one more hand of praise, and I won't bother you by clapping anymore. Amen. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, there is a word for our families today. God wants us to know and understand that in spite of how fractured or how frail your family might be, there is healing for your home. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. There you will find these words. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to just say to families, thank you, ushers, on this day, that if we'll do it God's way, amen, there is hope and there is healing. How many of you know that Jesus can fix it? I know a lot of you are watching this show, Scandal or Scandal, amen. If you're not watching it when it comes on, you're recording it, but I definitely know y'all are on Facebook talking about it. This show, Scandal, and Miss Olivia Pope, I believe, is the star character, and she's known as a fixer. I just want to tell you this morning that as good as Olivia Pope is at fixing things, she can't match our God. Do I have a witness today? So if you came here this morning hopeless, I hope that you will leave with hope, knowing that no matter how it looks or how you feel about it, God is able to fix it. But you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that if you're going to fix it, you've got to fix it the Lord's way. Amen. Many times us brothers, when we are called upon to put something together that we bought at the hardware store, a lot of times we just feel like we don't need the instructions. We feel like we got enough sense. And y'all know I think I got pretty good sense. Amen. But I learned something about a week ago. I learned that an ironing board cannot be used to change a light bulb. And thank God that Walmart still sells ironing boards. Amen. Because that one it was totaled out. It was totaled. Amen. So many times, though, we go and we buy stuff and there are instructions on how to put it together. I see y'all looking at me saying that he should have known better. I know you took geometry, Pastor. Come on. Some things don't fit. You don't fit on the ironing board. Well, that's all right. Amen. I got a new ironing board. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. But if we're going to fix our families, if we're going to have healing for our homes, my brothers and sisters, we have to look to God for directions. We have to look to God for instruction. Amen. Because a lot of times we're looking at a pattern, and the Word of God gives us the pattern. The Word of God gives us the model. Amen. But many times the reality of our situations don't match up with what the Word of God says. And someone is here today and your family doesn't resemble God's model. Your home doesn't resemble God's intention. Your situation doesn't mirror scriptural ideas. However, I've come by this morning to let you know that God wants you to know that he can fix it. Tell your neighbor, he can fix it. He can fix it. Amen. So if you're looking for an ideal relationship in your family environment, then you ought to look to the Word of God. From God's Word, we have seen the picture of the family that can be yours, that can be ours, if we do it God's way. However, as is our problem in every walk of life, sin has crept into the equation. And because of our sin, our reality presents a different picture than the one God intended. Many of us have families that are fractured and fragmented. Our homes are horrific and horrible. It does not resemble the pattern that God designed. In God's picture, there is a working father, a stay-at-home mother, and obedient children. In God's picture, young men and women are virgins when they enter into the marriage covenant. Y'all getting quiet on me. In God's picture, people come together in marriage to form a partnership that's based on trust, communication, and mutual respect. In God's picture, every child is welcomed into the world with great joy as the parents gladly take on their roles, fulfilling God's directive to be fruitful and multiply. In God's picture, parents raise their children by example to be good Christians. Parents instill in them the values of hard work, strong morals, and compassion. In God's design, the family is productive, not only in raising themselves, but also in giving back to the church, giving back to the community. Amen. The children grow up, work hard, get good jobs, and eventually start families of their own. Proud parents and grandparents look on with satisfaction, knowing that they fulfill their duty and can rest in the comfort that they pass on a worthy legacy that will last for generations to come. That's God's picture. I said that's God's picture. However, what we are used to is so opposite that God's design now sounds like a fairy tale to us. Virgin, stay-at-home mom. Come on now, in 2013, I mean, isn't it strange that we have strayed so far from the original intent that when we hear how it's supposed to work, it sounds like a fairy tale? Nowadays, more often than not, family means fighting. I know not at your house. I know not at your house. Amen. Homes are horrors. Troubled kids. I know not any of our families here, but amen. We can help somebody else. Financial chaos and confusion, our reality is somewhat different. We have single mothers raising kids with no male influence in the home, men who make babies but won't raise them, grandparents raising grandkids, children being exposed to grown folk problems. Some say, Pastor, my family is a mess. We do not produce anything but bitterness and despair. Your reality may be far from God's intent. You may be struggling to raise your children alone. You may have never known your father, even though your family may not be the picture described by God. The good news this morning is that God is interested in fixing our families. Tell your neighbor one more time, God can fix it. He can fix it. And my brothers and sisters, since we have strayed from God's intent, since our reality is what it is, let us see what we can do about it where we are. After all, there's no need in us coming here week after week discussing at length how great life in the world would be had Adam and Eve never sinned. The reality is that they did sin, and because of their sin and because of our sins, it distorted God's picture. It changed the configurations of life. Since we have deviated from God's plan, we should expect to have problems that God never intended for us to have or experience. But we ought to be grateful this morning that God loves us enough to bind our brokenness and cure our chaos. You ought to be thankful this morning that God is willing to fix our failures. He will bandage our bruises. He will give strength to the struggling. He will help us manage our messes. God wants to fix the family. And so he says to us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed. Tell your neighbor, don't conform. Don't conform. Amen. Our disease and broken concepts must be, watch this, transformed by a renewed mind. That brings me to our first point this morning. If you're going to have the kind of family that God wants you to have, the first thing you've got to do, you've got to not let the world define you. You gotta reach a point in your walk with God that you stop seeing yourself and your family as a statistic defined by the world. Don't allow the world to define you or your situation. Take your cues from the Lord. Amen. You got to learn how to take your cues from the Lord. I thank God that I learned a long time ago that if I'm going to make it in this life, I had to be delivered from people and I had to be delivered from what people thought about me. Amen. I heard somebody say, it's not what they call you, but it's what you answer to. Can I get a witness here? Is there anybody who figured it out? You figured it out that you've got to take your cues from the Lord about who you are. You've reached the point in your life where you stop letting people define you, where you stop letting people tell you when you can be happy and when you ought to be sad, when you stop letting people tell you when to have joy, when to get your praise. Oh, I know I got one or two folk in here who have moved beyond people far enough that you don't need a praise leader to tell you when to get your praise on. There are some of you who've grown enough that you don't need pastor to tell you when to clap, and you don't need any cues or signals on when you ought to stand, when you ought to say hallelujah, and when you ought to say thank you, Lord. Stop letting the world define you. Oh my, I use the Bible as a definition of who I am and who I'm supposed to be. Amen. The Bible says that you were made in the image and likeness of God. Oh, do you know what that tells me? That tells me that you might look at this big fella up here and say he's too big and he's out of shape and all of that. But when I look in the mirror, I'm reminded of what the Word says, that I'm made in the image and likeness of God. And you may not like how I look, but I thank God that He made me just as I am. I thank Him. I helped Him. I added a little to it. Amen. But I thank Him because I could be sick and in a bed. See, it ain't all in looks. Some of us in this society teaches us so much about how we're supposed to look. And some of you women have about lost your mind because you've been looking at some magazine, amen, with these models in these magazines, and you've been eating Special K and all that other stuff, trying to get down to that size. You ought to back up to the mirror and realize you will never be that size. Can I get a witness here? Going back to geometry, you ought to look at your bone structure. No, you ain't going to ever be Angelina Jolie. Or Beyonce. Or Gabriel Union. Or Halle Berry. What? I don't forget. Okay. All right. Let the Word define you. Amen. The Word says all things work together for good to those who love God. Amen. Stuff may not be lining up just like you want it to line up, and folk might be pointing fingers at you and saying, if you did this, you wouldn't be in that trouble, and so on and so forth. But if I remember what the Word says, the Word says that if I love God, that if I make Him a priority in my life, I don't care what you talk and whisper and gossip. Amen. God's going to work it out for my good. Are there any folk here who can say experientially that you found out in your walk with God that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it looks, amen, no matter what folk are saying about it, God can take what was meant for evil. He'll work it out for your good. You better let the Word define your family. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Stuff I used to do, I don't do as much. Places I used to go, I don't go as much. Oh my, come on. Am I the only one? I'm not everything I ought to be. Come on, you may as well be real with God. I'm not everything I want to be. I'm not everything the Bible says I should be. But one thing I know, I've made some progress. I said I've made some progress. I ain't what I used to be. Oh, give Him praise, give Him praise. Let the Word, let the Word, let the Word define you. Because you belong to God. Make the best of who God made you and who God gave you. Stop jumping ship so easily. Soon as another PYT comes by your window, for you younger folk, that's pretty young thing. There you go. Amen. Chasing another tail. Tell your neighbor the grass ain't always greener on the other side. Amen. Sometimes you get over there and figure out it ain't even grass. Do I have a witness here? Oh, you better let the word define you. The family instills values and dreams. And I want to encourage you families, make your family unit a support system. Your children ought not have to go to a counselor, amen, to get counseling. They ought to be able to sit at the table with mama and daddy and tell them what's happening at the schoolhouse. Make your family unit a support system. Oh my, husband, your wife ought not have to run to pastor, amen, talking about she's depressed and she's discouraged and all of that. I welcome that, but she ought to be able to turn to you in the midnight hour, nudge you and wake you up and say, babe, I'm dealing with some stuff on my job that's driving me crazy and I just need to talk about it. Come on, can I get any help here today? Make your family unit a support system, a lifeline in times of trouble, a cushion if you fall. A family's unconditional love and acceptance ought to propel us to heights of greatness. Stop letting the world define you. Stop letting the world, your family ought to be a team, amen. It ought to be a mighty force. It ought to be an unbeatable source of love and support. My sister's here today, my sister closest to me, amen. And there were times, there were many times we got into it all the time, amen. We would fuss and she would just beat me up and then run and tell my dad, God forgive me. No, that was me. Okay, all right. But anyway, oh, we fought each other. But let somebody else mess with your boy. Let somebody else have something to say about Veronica. And I was going to come to her defense because a family ought to be like a team. Can I get a witness here? Now, one thing I know about a team is that in football, they have these jamborees and scrimmages where the team divides itself and they play against each other. Amen. That's so that when they come against the real opposition, they'll be ready. So just because you're having some fights in your family don't mean you need to give up ship. Amen. Just because you have some arguments along the way doesn't mean you need to run and go to somebody else. God is just preparing you so that when your real enemies come, oh, come on, help me, somebody. You can handle it better. You can handle it better. And I know that we have a lot of mothers who are single parents, amen, and you're trying to raise young people. You're trying to raise kids by yourself. You're bringing home the bacon and cooking it, too. You're responsible for paying the bills, disciplining the children, going to their school, trying to be both a mother and a father, but no matter how diligent they are, no matter how loving, no matter that they are doing a phenomenal parenting job, they still need to compensate for the deficit of there being a lack of a male role model. In church, we've got to step up. Amen. We've got to be the kind of Christian role models that young men can look to and say, amen, that's how I want to model my life after this individual. They ought not have to look to the world for role models. They ought to be able to look at the church. So the first thing we've got to do, families, if you're going to let God heal your home, you've got to not let the world define you. But then secondly, you've got to not let your past determine you. I've always been concerned and disturbed as to why there seems to be more dysfunction in the African American community than in other communities. You know, amen, that whatever problems are prevalent in other communities, they are more so in ours. And that ought to disturb us, amen? Amen. That ought to bother us. That ought to bother us. We've been shaped by our history. And do you know that with the exception of sin, slavery was the most horrific and horrible and damaging and debilitating event known to humanity? The beatings, although horrendous, were not the worst part. The murders, as atrocious as they were not the worst part. The greatest atrocity that has had the longest lasting repercussions was the loss of the family unit.
Just a century ago, y'all, African-American families